Good morning, evening, America. Welcome to All the Cars I've Loved Before. Your place, your clearinghouse to talk about your memories around your cars, first car, second car, third car, current car. Join the conversation. Check us out at carslove.com. There's a form there where you can join up, but hey, it's a big week for us. We're getting a lot of buzz and feedback from the people that listen, who maybe we don't know, as well as friends, family, close network that we have. Please let us know what you think. Reach out to us directly or check out carslove.com. Let us know what you think. Get us the feedback. And to my esteemed co-host and webmaster, technical guru, Mr. Doug, how are you?
Well, thank you, Christian. How are you?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Sound check. Everything looks good. Everybody looks beautiful, at least over the sound waves anyways. Hey, is it okay with you to bounce into some of this automotive news?
Yeah. Let's kick off automotive news. And then we have our esteemed guest on standby. He may have some stuff to add.
Very excited for that. Yeah, just in the online travels this week. And to let you know, the Apple kills the iCar electric vehicle project. That led the airwaves. I believe this news was broken earlier in this week. Maybe it was Monday or Tuesday. And kind of surprised, you know, as an offshoot, I read the James Dyson biography a couple of weeks back of the vacuum cleaner fame. You know, his privately held company, Dyson, they tried to create an electric vehicle project themselves, and he sunk $500 million into it and just had to pull the plug at some point because he saw that it was going to take a lot more to make something viable. So when I heard this, I thought two things. Number one, that I was hoping the folks that worked on this project would be absorbed into other areas of the company. And also, that's kind of the same fate as the Dyson EV. And let's get some pictures of the Dyson EV up on the site here. But yeah, go ahead. Somebody was trying to say something.
So what I heard about Apple, not surprisingly, having worked at very large companies myself, is there was a lot of infighting.
Right.
And they had a nickname for the car internally, and it was, I think, Titanic, as in it was going to sink.
What was it? Well, that would have not boded well, but yeah. And I'm reading off of, it's all over, but I just picked Edmunds.com, EDMUNDS.com. It was known as Project Titan, but yeah, go ahead. Please continue.
Oh, Titan. Thank you.
Titan.
Yes.
Yep.
But yeah, I think the joke was it was going to be a Titanic failure.
That came to pass, aka prophecy. Yeah.
Yep. And myself, after working at many large tech companies, I've seen them come up with great ideas, launch them, and they'll kill them pretty quickly. And that's, even though Apple spent a lot of time on this, companies like Google and whatnot have said, you know, we need to fail fast, fail hard, fail quick, if we have to. Google itself was working on an electric car as well, but we'll save that for another episode.
It was perplexing that Apple would even enter in this endeavor. I mean, their niche was they're a software hardware producer, and they have a market to sell their software and hardware to car companies. So then they choose to go into car manufacturing, which is
good point.
A significant loser. So,
yeah,
you know, being a holder of Apple stock, it was kind of disconcerting that they chose to enter this business. But a company that has all this cash lying around, I guess they thought maybe we'll put a few hundred million or a billion, whatever it was, into this endeavor and see if it floats. But I was perplexed from the get-go as to why they would choose this venture.
Yeah, that's really a good point. And I thought the same when I was reading James Dyson's account of how they, it's kind of a big toe to dip into that pond. But yeah, good point. So you know, from the article on Edmunds.com, for the moment, Apple has not officially stated how many workers will be transferred to other projects or how many might face termination. I think 2,000 was the number that I heard, and I wish them well. I wish them well. Hate it when folks get laid off.
I had read or heard that they were going to transition them into their AI projects, which is a little more in tune with what Apple does.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, moving on. So in Auto News, autonews.com, yeah. Oh, you know what? Let's introduce David. What am I doing? What are we doing? What kind of hosts are we? Doug, you got to keep me honest here, man.
I'd rather remain anonymous. just an undefined voice.
Floating in the ether.
Yes. He's certainly not a hacker. He didn't hack into this podcast, that's for sure.
No, he was warmly invited, indeed.
Absolutely.
You want to say a few words about him, Doug, before I continue?
Yeah. Yeah. David, a longtime friend, excellent person, excellent human being. And David, you are, say a little bit from about yourself, but you're from Maryland originally.
I am. And I live around the corner from Doug and very happy to be here.
Yeah. And we're happy to have you.
When we say we're in your neighborhood and grassroots, we do not joke about that. So David, wonderful to have you. Thank you for joining. Let's bounce through the rest of these headlines, and then we'll dig into David's account of all the cars he's loved before. The bigger thing for me beyond the Apple pulling the plug on their project was new vehicle inventory rises to a three-year high. Unsurprising, 3 years ago took us into the depths of the emerging COVID crisis, as well as the supply chain issues. And recently I was reading that with high interest rates, the loans for cars are at an all-time, I believe, or five-year low. So, I mean, all sorts of factors converging on this one. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think, we're just in the cyclical world, right? You know, we talked about interest rates and, you know, people may be cutting back on purchases. I think that could be an effect. Maybe they're just not a lot of exciting cars out there anymore.
Surprising to me that I'm even on this podcast because I'm not a car person. I have a disdain for cars. To me, they're the worst investment that you make. They tend to sit in your driveway or garage most of the day, and we rarely use them. So they're a pretty bad investment when you think, if you think hard about it. I mean, they have an allure to some people, but I'm not the type of person that has a lot of allure for cars. They're just a mode to get around and a very poor investment generally.
It could be said that David has no appreciation for depreciation. Yep. No, I completely agree. So yeah, just rounding out the news here that Tesla's German plant power outage to continue to the end of the week. Something about sabotage was mentioned, and an extremely dumb, in quotes, quoting Chief Executive Elon Musk, a suspected arson attack. This story is just bizarre, but anytime you halt a plant, big time financial repercussions.
Absolutely. So yeah, they haven't been open that long. Southeast of Berlin, there's actually, according to this, what they call in Berlin, there was a burning of an electricity pylon. So some sort of substation that provided power to the plant. And more than 12,000 workers at the site are not able to do their job.
That's a big number.
So it's...
I didn't realize it was that big.
Really, really tough. Really tough. And, you know, for a company that's trying to do things differently, right? You have to wonder what the end game was for these arsonists, for lack of a better term.
Right. And in Tesla news closer to home, I saw my first, Cybertruck on the road over this past weekend. It was the first time I'd seen it since my co-host Doug and I actually went to a Tesla store in Montgomery Mall, Maryland, saw it up close. It was neat to just be close enough to touch and really take in the scale of it. It's very jarring. The panels are mostly straight. They're stainless steel, very hard to work, and mold stainless steel. It's not cold rolled steel. So you're not going to get the swoops and curves and arcs that you typically get in a production automobile. So I saw one on the, just traveling the roads. And then just here at my house an hour or two ago, I saw one just go up and down my street like it was nothing. So completely wild for this thing to go in just a few short years from concept to something that looks like nothing else on this planet, make it to the roads and just in my neighborhood.
Yeah. And it certainly doesn't look like anything from this planet. So
right.
It's different for sure. And it's huge.
Yeah.
from a close-up experience.
You bet. And rounding out the automotive news, something lighter, something for your children. And this from MotorTrend.com. Lego has come up with some automotive racing themed sets just in time for Christmas, which is a mere 8 months away. For these newest sets, Lego teamed up with Mercedes-AMG Petronas F1, McLaren Racing, and BMW M Motorsports. There's even a set that throws back to Formula One legend Ayrton Senna, and we're already making space on our desk. So, Lego coming up with some car-themed sets. Love that. My kids will love it. MotorTrend.com. That was the funnest story of the week. That rounds out our automotive news. Back to you, Doug, to get us kicked off with David.
Thank you. Yeah. So, David, again, thank you for joining us. We're happy to have you.
Pleasure.
We wanted to hear about your first car and any, I've heard you had some interesting experiences with it, but it was, I will introduce the type of car it was, and I hear you have a nickname for it. So, I hear it was a 1962 Plymouth Lancer.
Actually, it was a Dodge Lancer.
Dodge Lancer. Thank you.
Don't denigrate it.
we're all Mopar fans. That's all I got to say. So it was a, I am corrected, 1962 Dodge Lancer. I believe the color was white originally.
Yes.
And then it went through some transformation. So if you could tell us about how you acquired the car, when you got the car, were you looking for a car like this? As you said, maybe it was just basic transportation. And then there's got to be a good story or two once you introduce the nickname of the car.
Well, I acquired the car. I didn't. It was purchased for me through a contact who had a contact with a local Chrysler dealer. And the car, if I recall, cost $350. And I got the car probably 1967 or 68. And it was my first car, as you had mentioned. It was a three on the column. And I didn't know how to drive a stick shift. So that involved some effort, not much. And I was going to college then. And I was in my second year, and this was a godsend because I used to have to mooch rides. And if I was fortunate enough to have a date, which was rare, I would have to bum or solicit someone to give me a ride to wherever we were going to. I was in a college fraternity then, so I had a pool of people who were duty bound to drive me around, and my unfortunate date back then. So then I had all this freedom with this new car, but I had to learn how to drive a stick shift. So I remember I had a buddy from the fraternity who was very handy. He was in the engineering program, and he decided to break the car in, and he showed me how to shift the car without using the clutch.
Hmm.
During that effort, he managed to blow a small hole in the muffler.
Whoa.
Which was never repaired, which gave the car quite a presence. And the car was never maintained or cleaned properly, so it only acquired the title of the Dirtmobile.
I love that.
And I prided myself in it being the Dirtmobile by not cleaning it nor ever changing the oil, which I learned in later life is probably not a good idea for the longevity of an engine. But this car tended to keep on trucking. And I remember the back seat was, it was a four-door, and the back bench, the trash in the back went up to the seat. And I remember once I cleaned the car and found several bottles of Ripple wine lying back there. And during a moment of drunkenness, me and a buddy, using spray paint, painted a racing stripe on the car, a black racing stripe, which certainly gave it quite the renegade appearance.
So between the rumble, the racing stripe, the trash, right? I mean, we've got a real story here, right?
And so many questions.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so real quick for the automotive history. So a three-speed stick shift, when it was on the column, was referred to as three on the tree back in the day. For those who don't know the history, boy, that had to be hard to drive for somebody who's never driven one. I've driven plenty of stick shifts, but never on the column.
Yeah, yeah. The way you just said it, the way you just, I was trying to think, like you, a lot of standards with the, but up here seemed like it would have been such a challenge.
I picked it up rapidly, and I actually mastered going from second to third without using the clutch, which I was, often successful in, but not always.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes they say, if you can't find it, grind it.
There you go.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and just for inflation's sake, $350 in 1968 was about $3,000 in 2024 money. So still a wonderful bargain for that car.
It was quite a deal.
Yes.
I think it had a six-cylinder engine, did it not?
It did. It had the famous, and I think it was famous for reliability, the Chrysler Slant 6, as they called it, inline 6.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, it's all coming back to you, right, David?
It is.
The good and the bad.
There was nothing bad about the Dirtmobile.
That's right.
Not even the dirt. The dirt was a positive. And then after you give it the name, the Dirtmobile, yeah, now it's got a reputation to uphold. So you would certainly not clean it.
It definitely had a reputation.
Now, how long did you have that?
I probably had it until 1972, when the Dirtmobile slowly died and I had to get a replacement.
Yeah. Well, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I mean, seems like that would be a pretty fitting end for the Dirtmobile.
Yes. And I remember I had to dispose of it, and I didn't have it because I was getting another car. I sold it to Fair Claire for $1.
What?
Under the pretense that she was going to fix it up, and it sat in the parking lot of this sort of slum apartment building I was living at then. And Fair Claire never took advantage of the vehicle or moved it, and the people in the apartment were bugging me to move it, and I told them it wasn't my car because I had sold it.
Not my problem.
And you transferred the risk for $1, which is brilliant. So love that.
Yes. 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 And then I remember once I was going into the rear parking lot in not the most favorable neighborhood, and I've found some unfortunate fellow who apparently had taken up residence in the car. And
what?
I was outraged that somebody would denigrate the Dirtmobile in that way, and I invited the gentleman to leave, which he did.
Yeah, even in death, this car just still has a reputation and has the stories to offer. Fantastic.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's following him. If it was on Twitter, we'd be following it. Speaking of which, if you like what you hear on this podcast, as Christian said, please feel free to follow the show. Give us a rating, give us your feedback, write a review. We'd love to hear from you. We'll take the good, the bad, the ugly, yeah. Just like the Dirtmobile.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you have something that's not flattering to say, you can just say it to our faces and leave the positive stuff etched in stone on the Ethernet, on the interweb, so to speak. Yeah, we're getting a lot of feedback from Cars Love Nation that's wanting to know how to get a hold of us, and we are propagating all the episodes across all of the platforms, the more popular platforms out there. So if something's not working someplace, or you know of a platform where it's not quite yet reached, let us know. You'll want to check out our website at carsloved.com. Again, carsloved.com. There's a form there where you can leave information, or you can email us directly. I am at Christian@carsloved.com, Christian@carsloved.com. He is at Doug@carsloved.com. That's Doug@carsloved.com. And David, I have to say, it was just an absolute pleasure meeting you and listening to your stories, getting to know you a bit. And I have to ask, I've been looking at you through our audio recording software, which has a visual component, and I can't take my eyes off several of the pictures in the back. And Anything there that stands out that you want to share? And if that's too personal, no worries.
I think the pictures to which you're referring are generally family pictures. I think the one on the right probably that you're seeing is a picture of my grandparents.
Oh, wow.
And back then, they were obviously opposed picture. And my grandmother told me that she had to she had a choice between my grandfather and a fellow who was a plumber. And she chose my grandfather because the plumber had dirt under his fingernails.
Well, yeah. I mean, I bet he drove a dirt mobile too. Everything comes full cycle. It was in your DNA and blood all the time, David.
It might have been a dirt oxen cart by then. Back then, who knows?
A dray being pulled behind a team of draft horses. Doug, I think you wanted to move on to another car.
Yeah, David, I'm sorry to take you on longer, but you know, being a neighbor, knowing these great stories, tell us real quick about your prized PT Cruiser convertible, which started out as a Chrysler Plymouth, and then when Plymouth was axed through the whole, I forget what year it was, the whole GM and Chrysler and Ford financial crisis, if you will.
2008.
It became a Chrysler. So tell us about this car. I've seen you driving around with the top down, zipping around. I know it as a turbo, just like one of our previous guests had started with the turbo and ended with the turbo. So
she only drives turbos. Yeah.
I never knew it was a turbo. The PT Cruiser convertible was a 20th anniversary present gift from my wife. And I had always been kidding around when we would travel. I think once we actually rented a PT Cruiser, but it wasn't a convertible. And I always would say, what a great vehicle that was. Somewhat tongue in cheek, but I think my wife took it seriously. So for the 20th wedding anniversary, she got me the PT Cruiser convertible, which is quite the machine. I was very touched by the kind and generous gift from my wife. But then I proceeded to research the safety record for the PT Cruiser convertible. It then came apparent to me that my wife was seeking to cash in on the insurance. And she...
so good.
The car does not have quite the admirable safety record. But it certainly is just... It's pretty much you feel every dip and cranny in the roadway.
Yeah.
But it's just fun to drive it around with the top down during the summer. It's a real hoot.
As the former owner of many convertibles, myself and Christian, we are huge fans of convertibles. The best convertible is one with the top down and the weather's nice.
Indeed.
The worst convertible is driving one around on a rainy or a cold day.
Yeah, truth. Yeah. Yeah, when I owned mine, it was always just a real pleasing way to blow off steam, drop the top, fresh air, sun. I am definitely solar powered. A little bit of sun, fresh air, tunes, and making tracks from A to B. Always a good way to go. Well, into the podcast, I should say. This shatters all records for our longest podcast recorded. David, again, was great meeting you. Had a blast. Thanks for spending some time with us. For you, America, remember, this is your podcast where American history and automotive history meet your history. I am one half of your humble narration team. My name is Christian. He's Doug. Check us out at carsloved.com. Again, carsloved.com. And let's see, I'm at Christian at carsloved.com. He's at Doug at carsloved.com. Hey, check us out on your platform of choice for your podcast. See you soon, America. Thanks. Have a great day, evening ahead.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You're the man. Thanks, David.